Green Bay Packers tight end Andrew Quarles was arrested for discharging a firearm in public in Miami, Florida over the Independence Day weekend. Is a suspension coming his way? And how will the Packers deal with several potential suspensions this season? We'll debate these matters coming up on Railbird Central next. Central at Cheesehead TV and 24/7 Sports. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. We're talking some Packers football this morning, and unfortunately, we're not talking about good things in the world of the Green Bay Packers this morning. As you heard before, Andrew Quarles was arrested over the 4th of July weekend, which begins with our
Packers news of the day.
No interview today. You're just going to get my unbridled thoughts and opinions on today's show, but we've got plenty to talk about, that's for sure. Andrew Quarles arrested for discharging a firearm in public over the Independence Day weekend in Miami. This first reported by the Miami New Times coming. I believe it actually happened, happened about early morning, so I'm not sure whether it the whole process started at July 3rd and lingered into July 4th, something along those lines. Andrew Quarles in vacation in Miami, getting in trouble. So as the story goes, he reportedly got into an argument with several women near a parking garage, and Quarles wasn't alone. I know there was a report that he was with at least one other person. I don't know if there were more or not. But after getting into an argument with several women, Quarles then proceeded to fire two rounds. And as I understand, one was into the ground and one was into the air. According to the report, a woman is allegedly said of Quarles firing his weapon, in quote, in an attempt to emphasize his dominance and manhood, end quote. Again, according to the Miami New Times, which certainly doesn't look good in the light of all the domestic abuse issues that the NFL has been dealing with lately. And yes, I understand this may not, you know, technically fall under the category of domestic abuse, but being characterized as a man intimidating a woman, threatening, perhaps you could argue, with lethal violence. Quarles does not, he didn't shoot anyone. He didn't hit anyone, whether intentionally or accidentally. Quarles apparently tried to flee in a car, got out, and later tried to hide near a restaurant and tried to hide the handgun in a potted plant. He was later found, caught, arrested, and charged, like I said before, for the charge. The only one I've seen is for discharging a firearm in public. If there's been more charges, I haven't seen them yet. Maybe we'll learn more as the process plays out here. The Green Bay Packers have released a statement saying they are aware of the matter and are gathering more information and withholding further comment for the moment being. The discussion we're going to have on the show now that I've shared all the the facts, the details that I know of that have been reported, it would appear Andrew Corliss is a candidate to become suspended, although there's no saying when that's going to happen. I imagine this will take several weeks for it to run its course. The legal issues here, I know very little about what's happened other than he's been charged. Has he been fined? Has he paid a fine? Did he need to post bail? I don't know the answers to these questions yet. If you know them, please pass them along. I've shared what I've known so far. The larger issue here is this could just be one of several suspensions the Packers are having to deal with week one of the NFL season here, in addition to the previously reported suspension of Dayton Jones and another one perhaps coming down the line for Packers defensive lineman LaTroy Guyon. We'll talk more about the defensive line a little bit later in the show. They're pretty much worthy of their own segment here. But with Corliss kind of being the breaking news or the most recent news, we'll focus on him. And I posted to Twitter before the show a question kind of to my audience. What do you think the odds that Andrew Corliss is cut before the start of the regular season? What are the odds? What is the percentage you put on the Packers cutting Andrew Corliss? And here's a few responses from Packer Nation here, from interested parties who have cared to weigh in to me via Twitter. So Samuel Shear on Twitter says, I'd say it's a 40% chance. While Green Bay has a high standard with player conduct, I could see them giving him a second chance. Vicky, R22 Razor on Twitter says 10%. There are not enough proven players behind him. Andrew Hetzel, Third Eye Graphics on Twitter says 50%. He's just a guy at best. The crap he pulled won't be tolerated by an average at best player. Jake Turner on Twitter, Jake Turner Show, says 70%. Richard Rodgers' emergence and now this will sink Corliss. The only way I can see him stay is for depth only. One Twitter user jokes that this show could be called Jailbird Central for today instead of Railbird Central. Somebody puts in a rather precise percent here, although I assume they're probably close to their real guess, 65.35%. He's a slightly below average player facing a lengthy suspension involving discharge of a firearm. Cut almost 2 out of 3 times. Salvador Iapolo says it will depend on the final charges, but I guess they'll stick to him. Just a 10% chance of being cut. Carl Mizzarello on Twitter says, forget the percentage and just cut him. Richard Rodgers is ready to step in. So there is all over the board here. In fact, here just one more Twitter user here, Jeremy Keith, says 100% unless the truth of what happened is drastically different than what is being reported now. So there you go. All the way from, I've got answers from 5% to 100% whether the Packers will cut Andrew Corliss. So everything is all over the board. There's no consensus from the listeners, the people who have responded to me about whether he'll be cut or not. So my take on the matter here, now that everybody else has weighed in, I would probably put the percentage at probably 15 to 20% that Andrew Corliss will eventually be cut. And it's tough to separate the legal matters here from the just the his you know, how good of an athlete he is. And I would say they kind of go together a little bit. Andrew Corliss is, you know, he's probably likely to be suspended at some point. How much would he be suspended? I mean, it's certainly he didn't hurt anyone, so I think that may give him a little leniency as compared to maybe some of the domestic violence issues that have come out, like Ray Rice, you know, evidence of him, you know, beating up his girlfriend, although Corliss is certainly guilty of a very dumb and stupid and, you know, potentially putting himself in a very bad situation in which somebody could have gotten hurt, perhaps even killed. Absolutely dumb, stupid, whatever. You would think that a guy who's been around in the league, Corliss is now entering his sixth year in the NFL, you would hope maybe he's a little bit more mature than, you know, some rookie coming into the NFL that's just coming out of college, you know, thinks the world is his oyster. You would hope those things would be the case. Apparently, they're not. You would also think that, you know, Andrew Corliss, you know, he's gotten over that by now. But that's not the world we're living in. He made this mistake. Now he's got to deal with it. You know, I would guess maybe, what, up to four games he could be suspended for. That's just me thinking out loud here. I don't think it'll be a case where he'll be suspended 1 week like Dayton Jones. But, you know, we'll find out. And I think, like I said, it's going to take a while for the NFL to actually come down with a, they're not going to suspend the, you know, whether the Packers cut Andrew Corliss or not, that could happen at any time. That for all we know, if it were to happen, it could happen today. As far as a suspension goes, that's going to take a while. The NFL is not going to, they're going to let the situation play itself out for sure. The legal issues, all that. You know, I think all things, you know, being equal, they would like to have it all ironed out by the time the regular season starts, you know, just so the team knows and the player knows going into the season what the situation is. But, I mean, it's any decision from the NFL, that's not going to happen today. It's not going to happen in the next week. It's going to happen a week, two, three, four down the line here, any decision on suspension. So we wait on that. But, coming back to the, you know, weighing the legal issues versus, you know, just being, how important is he to the Green Bay Packers? Andrew Corliss has kind of been a mediocre NFL tight end. He certainly has not been Pro Bowl caliber. There's been a lot of talk about him having a good offseason. Quarterback Aaron Rodgers actually spoke out in an interview when asked about Andrew Corliss to, you know, talk about how well he's done and what he's meant to the team. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers' word carries quite a bit of weight in Green Bay. And when he says something like that, people listen. And so I think there was, you know, a lot of people on board the Andrew Corliss bandwagon this offseason here, but prior to the arrest, thinking, oh, you know, he had a pretty good season last year. Not great by any means, but, you know, Andrew Corliss scored three touchdowns, including the game winner and against the Miami Dolphins, the come-from-behind victory with just 3 seconds left on the clock, a play that was voted the NFL's never-say-never moment of the year. You know, those are all great things going in Andrew Corliss's, you know, working in his favor of him emerging as a very good tight end. And now this happens. And, you know, my opinion is he's been a mediocre tight end, a guy who prior to him tearing several ligaments in his knee back in 2011, looking like he had a real high ceiling, a guy who could have been a very good tight end. you know, he was emerging as a great, great blocking tight end at that point. But the injury happens. It sapped him of a lot of strength and stability in that knee. You know, he sat out the rest of 2011, missed the entire 2012 season, and it took him a while to come back from that. Started off 2013 slowly, picked up steam. Kind of last year, he had his best career year, albeit sharing time with Richard Rodgers. And now you've got Richard Rodgers emerging, and it's really kind of, you know, putting Andrew Corliss more and more at a disadvantage here. I'll say this, though. Beyond Richard Rodgers and Andrew Corliss, you've got a bunch of question marks. There's a lot that you don't know there about the tight ends who are currently, you know, number three, number four on the depth chart, you know, at best at the moment. So I think if the Packers do part ways with Andrew Corliss, it will be partially because they think, you know, he's just a mediocre tight end. They can live without him, and maybe the young guys are ready to come on and emerge. And that could depend upon what happens in training camp. You know, now we're looking at a guy like rookie Kennard Backman, the team's sixth-round draft choice, one of three sixth-round draft choices, but kind of the guy being looked at as your third-string tight end here in competition with a few others here. But, I mean, Kennard Backman, I mean, assuming Andrew Corliss at the very least is suspended, you know, all of a sudden Kennard Backman is emerging into perhaps the number two role, number two tight end on the Packers roster, you know, right away, week one of the season. And, you know, that may or may not last depending on if Andrew Corliss comes back from suspension and kind of, you know, puts Kennard Backman back on the third on the depth chart or lower. But, you know, for a while at least, here the Packers are going to be relying rather heavily on a player heavier than expected that early in the season, I would think. You know, it's, you know, coming into week one of the season, week two of the season. Can you imagine week two against the Seattle Seahawks, a big game as that is? Or, you know, heck, week one, Chicago Bears. Well, the Bears aren't that great a team. Going on the road in the NFL, first game. You know, there's going to be a lot of pressure on a player. That's going to be a big, big stage for a kid like Kennard Backman. And you know, beyond him, I mean, he's no guarantee by any means. I don't mean to single him out. I mean, he's in a fight with guys like Justin Perillo, who was on the roster last year, undrafted rookies Mitchell Henry and Harold Spears. These guys are all in the fight to win the number three tight end job. And perhaps even more if Corliss is gone or suspended. So it's shaping up as a very interesting situation here at tight end as the Packers just weeks away from entering minicamp now, or training camp in late July, starting July 30th. So a lot to play out here and a lot to learn about Andrew Corliss' legal situation. But it's made his hold on the job a little bit more tenuous, you know, to say the least here, in light of the recent arrest. Okay, talking about the defensive line here and other matters that the Green Bay Packers are dealing with recently. So we knew as of, what was it, last Thursday or last Friday, Dayton Jones, last Thursday, was suspended by the NFL for violating the league's substance abuse policy. And it comes to light over the weekend on Friday that Dayton Jones was cited for possession of marijuana back in January, according to municipal court records. And first of all, I think it's remarkable that this was kept under wraps for more than 5 months, that this was not found out by somebody. These municipal court records are public. So, I mean, obviously, people within law enforcement and perhaps doing their job as they should and keeping their mouth shut and not keeping this kind of thing, not speaking about it publicly as they should as, you know, public employees, that's probably a good thing. But the fact that it's public record and anybody's able to view it and comment upon it, I think it's interesting that, you know, whether the media or social media, nobody got a hold of that, you know, at some point, and, you know, it made it public knowledge, I think is just remarkable. But it does go to show why Dayton Jones, if you were curious as to why he was suspended for one game, I mean, this is probably why. He was simply cited for possession. So not necessarily, you know, violating or failing a drug test from the NFL. You know, the NFL doesn't comment on that. So, technically we don't know. But, if he failed a drug test in stage two, he's more likely going to be suspended for, you know, more games. And I understand there's greater leniency now with marijuana as opposed to other drugs, performance enhancing drugs. But, you know, this is, you know, just possession, not necessarily failing a drug test here. On top of that, there's the Dayton Jones suspension for sure. That's coming week one. There's been the appeal process. This is over. The NFL does not announce suspensions until after appeals are heard. Kind of unlike fines, you know, you can find out about fines and then a player can appeal them and they could be reduced or, you know, stricken from the record totally. Not the case with suspensions here. Appeals happen. So that's in the books with Dayton Jones. That's happening week one. Not going to be any more, not going to be any less than one game. They also potentially coming down the pike here, suspension for defensive lineman LaTroy Guyon relating to his arrest earlier in the season for, you know, this whole thing. He was arrested with a very large amount of marijuana, carrying an unlicensed weapon in the state that he was in. Charges were later dropped, although LaTroy Guyon did have to pay a fine. So it's not like he got off scot-free. And on top of that, though, just as we just learned this past weekend as well, there was a civil suit filed against LaTroy Guyon, according to ESPN.com's Rob Domofsky, filed by the boyfriend of LaTroy Guyon's ex-girlfriend. And apparently, LaTroy Guyon has a child with this person, the ex-girlfriend. The civil suit alleges assault and battery, which certainly doesn't sound good. But the report, according to ESPN.com, LaTroy Guyon's agent claims there's no basis for this suit, and indeed, no criminal charges were filed about this. And the incident apparently happened as far back as 2013. So, no charges filed, claims of being no basis for it. I have no idea what to make of this, until we get further information here. I imagine some sort of court case will eventually happen. I don't know. LaTroy Guyon could settle out of court for all I know. If indeed it were to come out that he would be, there's evidence against him and he would be guilty, that would be really bad news for LaTroy Guyon. It just doesn't look good that it happened in 2013. I would say the odds that LaTroy Guyon are charged is probably less, seeing as a lot of time has passed. I'm not saying that it's not, you know, there's no merit to the case here, but the longer, you know, things like this happen, you know, from the time the incident happened, it just doesn't stand as good a chance of being, meritable from the accuser's point of view, I guess. So we wait and see, but I mean, regardless here of what happens with the civil suit, LaTroy Guyon still subject to potential suspension from the arrest earlier this offseason, and you know, the 2015 arrest. And that could leave the Packers in a sticky situation, not just with the potential suspension to Andrew Corliss, but you know, Guyon and Jones, leaving them pretty thin on the defensive line. And it, you know, yeah, all of a sudden you're looking now, what kind of situation are the Packers in week one here? You think, oh, they're in a good spot. They're taking on a Bears team that's not exactly good. The Packers can get by. And now you put them at a little bit of a disadvantage here without two guys you would expect to play roles for the Packers. You know, guys who have started games for the Packers. Maybe they're not the greatest players in the world. Maybe they're not the Pro Bowl caliber. But guys you expect to play a role, now they're going to potentially be gone. Jones gone for sure. Maybe Guyon as well. And, I mean, you know, how many defensive linemen are the Packers going to keep active on their 53-man roster? That how many are they going to keep on the 53-man roster? And how many do you keep active on game day on the 46-man roster on game days? Remember, there's always got to be seven players inactive for every game. I mean, you've got, you know, look at the guy, you know, Mike Daniels will be active for sure. You got to think that B.J. Raji, assuming he's healthy, he's going to be out there. Josh Boyd, you know, played a big role with the Packers last year. You've got Mike Pinnell. You've got the rookie Christian Ringo. You've got last year's third-round draft choice, Kyree Thornton. Then you got a couple more long shots like Bruce Gaston and LaVon Hooks. All things being equal, there could certainly be a lot of influences with suspensions here, but all things being equal, I mean, you would think that six would be the most likely number the Packers keep on the defensive line. Maybe five. I think it would be a long shot they'd keep five, especially with several suspensions happening here. But let's say they keep six. They're going to keep Mike Daniels. They're going to keep B.J. Raji, I'd say. They would keep Dayton Jones. LaTroy Guyon, I think, stands a good chance if he's not, as long as this civil suit, there's no merit to it. There's four players right there. I'd say Josh Boyd is probably next in line, and then Mike Pinnell. Those are probably the six guys with the best chance of making the roster. Not that I'm ruling out anybody. Guys like Christian Ringo and Kyree Thornton, you know, depending on what they do in training camp, they can very well make the roster, and they don't have any suspensions hanging over their head, or at least none that I'm aware of. So, you know, the Packers probably would they be okay for one game, 1 week, with a defensive line that looks like this? Let's say they can only keep four players active week one. Are you okay with Mike Daniels, B.J. Raji, Josh Boyd, and Mike Pinnell? I would be okay with that. I think they can get away with 1 week, assuming, you know, there's no more obstacles to Dayton Jones coming back in week two. You get him back, and I don't know how long Troy Guyon will be suspended, as little as no games, from all the way up to, what, four games maybe for LaTroy Guyon. So, you know, then week two, you got five guys you can choose from to be active. I think the Packers are okay there. Now you just got to hope they're not going to suffer any injuries on the defensive line, you know, during training camp. That's the thing that could spell real trouble here. Now, all of a sudden, you know, Mike Daniels goes down with injury, knock on wood, or B.J. Raji. Now the Packers are in a real sticky situation. You know, and that's not to say how long these injuries will last. I mean, if a guy suffers a season-ending injury, wow, then the Packers really in some deep water. But, assuming they're in good health, assuming that the suspensions do not become any longer. You know, if Dayton Jones just stays at one game and, you know, there's he doesn't have any more issues along the way, Packers can get by for week one, but a lot of it's going to depend on health as to how bad the situation could get for them. So it's been an interesting, you know, week or so here involving the Green Bay Packers. You know, there was a little bit made of Mike McCarthy, his last press conference before, you know, what at the end of minicamp in late June. Mike McCarthy talked about how his message to the team was be safe, you know, in that month-long period between the end of minicamp and the beginning of training camp, when players aren't required to be at team headquarters, they don't have to be in Green Bay. The only requirement is they're in Green Bay by the start of training camp, late July, July 30th. They don't have to be back until then. It's obviously, with a guy like Andrew Corliss, really didn't heed the message. Dayton Jones' troubles dated back a lot further than that. So, anyway, it's been an interesting situation, and there's still things here that could play out that we don't know about yet. More to the Andrew Corliss story. We'll stay tuned, and I'll keep you up to date at 24 Sports should any news break. But that's as much as we've got right now. Pretty short segment for our next one.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers, over the course of the next 24 hours, it is youth football camp time. At a time period where the professional athletes are on vacation, the youth athletes are getting themselves better. The Packers host their official team-sponsored youth football camps this week. I mean, they hold them all summer long, but one start this week in Kenosha, Oshkosh, and Oconomowoc. In addition to that, I know former Packers defensive lineman Gilbert Brown is hosting a youth football camp later this week. There's a lot going on here in terms of youth and the Packers-sponsored youth football camps this week. So, like I said, at a time period where professionals are on vacation, it's youth football time here in the summer when kids are trying to get better for their own, you know, middle school, high school teams. And that's what's going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers. Until training camp starts, I don't have a whole lot more for you in terms of the Green Bay Packers. The things that we're going to learn about that come about in the news are things that can't be foreseen here. So nothing I can look into my crystal ball and predict as far as news relating to Andrew Corliss and suspensions that will just come out of the blue, and we'll let you know more about them when they happen. But that'll do it for today's show. An unfortunate topic we had to talk about today, but stay tuned. We'll let you know the latest as we learn about it. We'll talk about it more on Wednesday's edition of Railbird Central. But for now, that'll do it. We'll see you later, folks. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of Railbird Central. And available on demand and podcasted later in the day. We'll see you later, folks. I leave you today with a song called Feed the Wolf by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack. Go.